gavel this work session of the Springfield Planning Commission to order. We have one item on our agenda this evening. Mark Metzger is going to discuss with us the cell tower application and options, some options for some camouflage cell towers.
There's a cell phone tower. That's on E Street.
Is that a tower?
No, it's a tree. They de-limbed it. And I saw that yesterday. That's all I can think of. I'll show it around. You go ahead there.
Well, this might be more entertaining than what I've got.
What they did was they took a tree and cut all the limbs off, and it just looks like a cell phone tower.
Okay.
Take advantage of it.
March 4th, I guess it was, we met in work session, and we went over sort of the basics of the, well, can't beat that with anything you're going to see tonight.
Yeah.
I think we went through the criteria of approval for both the discretionary use and the site plan review, and the proposal to build a 120-foot cell tower facility in the gateway area at the court sports facility really meets the basic criteria, but it was the sense of the Planning Commission that the photo simulation that was submitted showed a tree that really wasn't very attractive, and the direction to staff was to make contact with New Cellular or AT&T staff and see if there were some options that could be brought to the table and discussed. And so we'll talk about some of those things. It's one thing to talk about, oh gee, I like this or I don't like that, but when you're talking about aesthetics, unless you define what makes a tree attractive or not attractive, what are some of the features, it makes it hard to make a decision that isn't kind of, from the hip. So we'll spend a little time about what is it that makes a tree ugly versus what is it that makes it more attractive, so that when you make a choice, you'll know this tree that we're choosing has these factors that make a tree attractive.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of my research, I had the opportunity to look at some pretty odd trees, and I thought I could share some of these with you. This is a tree that I thought just sort of stood out in the crowd. Now, this made me wish we had cactus.
A saguaro cactus.
I think it looks pretty good, but this wouldn't fit either, I don't think. Now, this just looked like a sprig, just sort of barely pine. Now, tell me what you think of that.
Yeah, feather dust is probably appropriate.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Remember the ice storm we had a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's what my trees look like out there. This is what it looked like after the tornado.
Oh, no.
Now, to be honest, I'm sure this was quite intentional. I can tell you that when you do custom trees like this, it is very expensive. Somebody paid a lot of money for
this. Well, the question is, what is that supposed to simulate?
I think it simulates a snag.
We did a snag in the Columbia Gorge, actually. The Columbia Gorge Overlay Commission wanted a snag.
I'm sorry, I should introduce Steve Bodine is with AT&T. He's mm-hmm. the man that I've been working with most. And this is Doug Sandstrom. He came to a meeting this afternoon before this and helped us identify some options to bring to the table.
Good. Just some information for the audience. This is a work session, so any communication that we have, we'll have to, public session, call out as ex parte. So,
So I thought this was interesting. It's, not a very attractive tree, but you notice they did put some light standards on it. It serves at least some function. This is what a camouflage tree would look like if I did it. Sort of that do-it-yourself look. And this I just didn't quite understand. It really looks like a palm tree disguised to look like a monopole. Why would you put the antenna on the outside? And then here's...
Does that have branches on top?
Somebody was trying to meet a code.
Yeah.
The code required them to have some camouflage. They met it.
Oh.
Now, this is sort of the economy model. Someone purchased. Tell me what that is. I'm on a pine. And there's somebody that started and then just quit. So, monkey business aside, I wanted to talk a little bit about the tree that was submitted originally, and want to show you some things that we need to take notice of as we look at additional options. And I'm gonna, I don't know how the pointer works here.
It doesn't work on the TV, it goes through it.
Okay. This here is actually the page out of the site plan. This is part of your packet. I've drawn in some lines here to let you know about, at least on paper, what the tree was supposed to be. First of all, notice that up here, the antenna panels come to the very top, but you notice the foliage for that nice pyramid shape, the pyramid, the point
ends
is here.
There. Yeah.
So the antennae are exposed. So one of the issues that we'll be talking about today is, should we have foliage going up here, even though the first antenna array is maybe 10 feet down or so? If we have a choice, the applicant has demonstrated they need at least 120 feet. So they're proposing a 120-foot tower. If we give them the 120 feet they need, but we want to have vegetation go higher, we may need to approve, say, 130 or 134, you know, 140-foot tree. Mm-hmm. But just to get that foliage up here. The second thing is, you notice that these panels, they stick out from the pole a distance of about 6 feet. So they don't conform to the pole itself, they stand out. With the new 4G technology, those panels have to stand out and be separated. I talked to you before about, well, maybe we could do like a flagpole or a spire, I think was a term I might have used. I talked with AT&T staff, and the new 4G technology, you can't have the antennae close to each other, there's interference. It's a little different than the old 3G. So that idea of the flagpole or the spire won't work in this kind of context. But all that to say, you need foliage that is going to cover those, and you'll have, with our requirement for co-location, you need to have the ability to cover a set of panels here and here, because we're going to have room for three. One of the decisions we need to make is, do we want a tree that is this kind of pyramid shape, or do you want one that is sort of uniform? The tree that was submitted was pretty much uniform. It covered just the outside of the panel here, but went straight down. All of the branches were pretty much uniform in length coming out from the pole, which gave it that kind of columnar look, and it kind of blocked out more or less just the panels, and it didn't do anything else for the eye. The tree that was, again, in your packet, the branches here spread to about 32 feet. This didn't match up very well with the photo simulation. The photo simulation seemed to have pretty much just a columnar kind of look, and so we've talked about that a little bit, and we have some other suggestions to present to you as options to the tree that was proposed. This is just looking down on top. You notice that this is the pole. You're looking down on the very top of the pole. These are triangular-shaped antenna array. These are those flat panels that actually send and receive information. These panels stand out at about 6 feet from the pole. So what makes an ugly tree, or what makes it an attractive tree? One of the things that affects the appearance of a tree is how many branches per foot. If you can imagine, do any of you have artificial Christmas trees?
Mm-hmm.
Those things that you put together and you plug in. Well, what makes that tree look nice is, and what you pay more for, is a tree that's more dense. You have more branches per, I don't think it's per foot, it's probably more per inch. But in the same way, a monopine, the more density of branches per foot gives you that denser coverage. Length of branches. As we looked at the site plan view, if you had branches that were just long enough to cover the panels and didn't go out behind, it looks kind of funny. So the length of the branches themselves can affect the overall shape of the tree. It can be a cone shape if you have long branches at the base, shorter branches, you know, kind of going up, creating a cone, but the length of branches makes a difference. We talked a little bit about number three, and I didn't know quite how to put that into words, but the idea is that at the apex of the tower, you need additional foliage above that to achieve, you know, a conical kind of shape. One of the things we talked about in that past work session was that the branches didn't come down the tree or down the pole very far. It covered pretty much just the antenna array and cut off. So one of the things that affects the appearance is how far does the vegetation come down. There's a picture that I'll show you in a couple minutes. It's among some options, but when you look at a natural tree, there's sort of an irregular pattern of the length of the branches that it's not perfectly symmetrical. There's some irregularity. And some people prefer that irregularity to achieve a natural look. That irregularity can create gaps that allow a person to kind of see into the interior of the tree, but that too is something that affects the appearance of the tree. The next two bullet points are, you have to kind of use your imagination because I couldn't find any pictures, but there are things called antenna socks. They are a kind of material that actually fits over those flat, shiny antennae, and they're invisible to radio waves, but they break up the outline of those very rectangular square panels. And the socks, in conjunction with the foliage, it helps further camouflage the trees. There are also actual branches that themselves are antennae. And so these are different kinds of devices that are part of a tree that can make it appear more camouflaged than what we were seeing before. This is the tree that was proposed and was shown in the photo sim. Notice how straight up and down these columns are, with the branches all pretty much uniform in length. There's nothing really conical here. There's not much vegetation above the top. Here are some examples from a company called Larson, which is a manufacturer of monopine trees and other kinds of camouflage. Talking about, here's what a tree looks like if you have three branches per foot. That's a measure of density. Here's what a tree looks like if it has two branches per foot. This tree also has these things called antenna socks, which again further breaks up the outline, the form of the actual antenna themselves, and are covered, you know, in addition by the fake foliage. Here is another tree that, again, three branches per foot with socks. This tree here, if you notice the uniformity that we talked about versus kind of irregular, it's just a matter of aesthetic preference, that you can order trees that have this regular kind of uniform length of branches, or you can order, you know, this irregular kind of shape. This tree down here, you notice that there's a density up here and it thins down and the branches come far down low on the pole. And this really actually looks like a natural tree, because if you're out in the forest, you notice that the density usually is in the crown, and then it kind of thins out when it gets down lower. In this kind of a tree, it is very important to have a lot of the vegetation above that top array of antennae, because you need that to have that nice, gentle, conical, you know, appearance. This down here is just sort of between two and the three. This is 2.25 branches per foot. But you notice this has more of the square top. Just a different appearance. In talking with AT&T staff, They're willing to build any of these trees as an option to what was proposed. And I guess I would leave it with you folks to discuss what it is that you would like to see in a tree. And if there's one of these options that the commission likes better than the one proposed, that maybe you think about that. We cannot make a decision in here, but when we go into regular session, it would probably be helpful if you had in your mind, and maybe the commission had in its mind, one of the options that you think would be better than what's proposed. The applicants will make a formal, you know, offer, I guess, for these options.
And I'm assuming this will be placed in the public record during the session. Yes.
Yeah. So it gives you folks some focus. I'm not trying to drive this process, but if you see something here that looks better, that you think would both provide for the neighborhood's need for cellular service, but also not be an embarrassment, I guess, to the neighborhood, then it would be helpful to go ahead and make a decision tonight. If you're not comfortable making a decision based on what you have in front of you, then one of your options is to not make a decision. But we were hoping at staff
in that
level,
case, would we leave the record open until we could reconvene and make a decision
later
tonight?
I think what we would want, and maybe we can actually spend some time talking now, is that if none of these works, what the goal is to find out what is it the commission wants to see if we can propose something or that the applicant can propose that works. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just wanted to commend AT&T staff for their flexibility and desire to have a nice tree, you know, that fits.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this. Again, you know, we're not, this isn't a decision-making process, but I think it's important for us to, you know, we've seen your presentation now. I mean, I think you're pretty much complete with your presentation. What are your general feelings about these options? Let's start with Stacy.
You know, the one thing that I really didn't care for with the other one, not only just that it was, you know, straight down, but that there weren't any branches that went past that point. So I do like option number four and option number five. If we were to, for option number five, maybe ask for it to go a little bit higher, as Mark was talking about, you know, where we want it to kind of go above a little bit instead of the, 122 feet? I don't have any information in front of me. But maybe
132 or some higher.
I think we'd need to leave that number open so that we can actually talk with their engineering staff. But if you choose,
would that be okay if when we do make
a
decision?
I think making a decision, if you could say option number five with the provision that the foliage above the antenna is extended and that
just that doesn't look so straight.
And that the commission acknowledges that will push the height beyond the 120.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have an upper limit in our code that says nothing higher than 150.
Yeah.
I just think because it's in the middle of absolutely, you know, this, there's nothing around it, that something that's going to make it a little more natural.
How about you, Steve?
It's pretty easy to me to just look at it, decide what I think would appeal. Between me, it's one and four.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
And I like one, too, but I don't know the distance between that end of the branches to the... The bottom.
Well, how about Tim? What are you thinking?
First of all, a question. I presume that in all of these different options, that the height would have to extend beyond 120 feet because to get the coverage that's just necessary.
Yeah, I'm in talking with AT&T staff that the 120 feet allows them to fill the gap. I think in the findings we made, we showed you what would 70 foot do, for example.
Yeah,
and
70
and 120. So I'm making the assumption they need the 120 feet. They kind of confirmed that.
For the top array.
And so, you know, whether they need another 10 feet or 15 feet to make that conical kind of look, I just wanted you to know they'd be going above the 120
right.
feet.
Great.
As far as I'm concerned, given the original simulation that we had, I'd be amenable to any one of the five options that you've got there, because they're all in a dramatic improvement over what we originally were looking at. So I'm open to any one of the five.
Okay, and Nick?
I like number four the best. I just like the way it looks. Looks like a Christmas tree.
Put lights on.
So what I would say, my personal feeling is, you know, I like a real natural look. And my preference, I'm kind of aligned with Stacy. I think, you know, having the branches come down further is really important, because it doesn't just look like a pinnacle sticking out there in the middle. So, you know, I tend to like, I think one looks really natural. And I think four looks pretty natural too. My concern with four is if you were putting arrays down further in the tree, they may be visible with only those two branches per foot. Yeah. You know, it may be, you know, and I think a concern I have is, you know, I want to make sure that it looks as natural as possible. So, you know, including and not limited to the socks on the antenna, so that, you know, it's not shiny and, you know, right. it's green and blends in to the tree itself. So, and I tend to like a natural look. For instance, three to me looks way too Christmas tree tilt down the branches. You know, I prefer a more natural look. I think there's some good options there.
I do have a question. For option number one, which I think I probably like the most, but my concern is from the bottom of where the branches begin at the bottom, how many feet is that from?
You know, I think we would have the option of just requiring a specification that the first 40 or 50 feet of the tree be covered. All this to say that option one is a picture right now in our hand, but there is the ability by the manufacturer to continue this foliage further
down
the pole. What I don't have a good handle on from this picture is how far is this. And,
yeah.
But
that's what,
I think
yeah.
the idea is to, what I'm hearing is we want foliage that comes, say, 3/4 of the way down the tree, as opposed to just covering the area.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I mean, I think that's where I'm at. I don't know about you guys.
That 3/4, is that, I'm trying to think of language that would go into a motion that
amenable.
We like option number one, but on the condition that foliage is extended down the pole such that 3/4, which of whatever the total height of the tree is covered with foliage.
So once if and when this goes through the public process and we have our hearing and so on and so forth, I think, you know, this being the first application of this new code, I think it'd be good after this process moves forward and a decision is made and staff have consulted and met the requests and requirements of the Planning Commission to report back at some point.
Part of the process is to require the applicant to conform to the photo simulation. That is the last step. The staff goes out and looks and say, you know, is this substantially similar to the picture that you got? And so I think if you choose an option and we say, okay, we want, say, option one with foliage 3/4 of the way down, that gives me direction that I can look at this, envision it with foliage 3/4 of the way down. And
we're we want the conical look, so we're amenable to extend above, but we need to maintain the conical look, foliage 3/4 of the way down.
There is that accountability at the end of the process.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, Tim?
Given that all of these towers are intended for potential co-location with various providers, is there going to be stipulations where if a new provider comes in and wants to co-locate, that they can conform their equipment to the look of the pole?
Yeah, that would be a condition. And someone had mentioned earlier, well, you want to make sure that people who come in later on option number four that there's density where their antenna are, and that's, I think we would want that density up front so that we're not going to a co-locator and telling them, oh, by the way, you have to reconstruct this tree and fill in more branches. I'd rather get that up front, I think. The co-locator is going to be paying a fee, and I don't mind if AT&T charges them more to be able to pay their fair share of the camouflage.
Yeah.
But as it is with other things, when you're the first in, you end up carrying more of the load.
Sure.
But I would rather do that, have the density now, density that would take care of future co-location, than to come back and ask them to increase the density. I'm not sure how well that would work.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any other questions for Mark?
Well, I have a...
Yes? Go ahead.
Somewhat of a background question, not related to the appearance so much, but I noted in the report that you, and at least at the time this was written, you don't have complete agreement on screening of vegetation, because I noted that it was suggesting drought-resistant foliage, and they were not going to provide irrigation as a result of that. So there was evidently some negotiations yet to take place in regard to foliage.
It's a condition of approval that's part of the site plan. They have to turn around and adjust the site plan to meet the conditions. And it was just something I noted that as I looked at the site plan, there was no provisions for irrigation. Three-fourths of the plants that they proposed were drought tolerant, the Oregon grape and other things. But as I looked on the internet, I think it was the arborvita, while it's something that's common around here, it's attractive, it's not classified as drought tolerant. And our goal is to make sure that once planted, if it's not going to be irrigated, it still needs to survive. And so they're welcome to choose any other plant that is drought tolerant. The condition in our site plan is that plant material, whatever it is, has to survive
right.
and be able to grow.
Okay, all right. No further questions. We'll adjourn the work session.
Make sure that you have these, and do you feel like you have information that will be able to make a specific motion?
I think so.
Okay, very good.
Jotting down some notes.